It's possible to have perfect vision physically and yet for us to be blind to certain things in our life. We have an example of that in a church known as Laodicea. If you were to have seen Laodicea, it was a wealthy church. It would have been extravagant in nature. In fact, they boasted that they had need of absolutely nothing. And the Lord writes to them, and He tells them that they're not seeing things the way they need to see things. Knowest what He said? And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor? Watch this word. And blind and naked. Here's a church who, when they looked at themselves, all they saw were riches, self-sufficiency, and having everything they could possibly need. And yet God says, you are a blind people. In the very next verse, He counsels them to acquire certain things. And one of those things is eye salve. I counsel thee to anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I've always wondered, what kind of eye salve did they need? What kind of ointment did they need to place upon their spiritual eyes in order to be able to see? And folks, one of the ointments that is desperately needed is thanksgiving. The Bible exhorts us to give thanks, does it not? Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The title of our lesson this morning is this: what thanksgiving helps us to see? In other words, if we do not become people of deep thanksgiving unto the Almighty God, you and I might be blinded to some things in our life, but if we are thankful, our eyes will be opened to untold things that are happening around us. Point number one. My friends, if you and I will apply thanksgiving in our life, we will see the bounty of God. It's amazing to me that we can have all of our junk piled around us, can't we? All of the stuff that we own. And we'll look around and we'll see it and we'll say, man, I just don't have very much. Or we'll complain and we'll gripe about how little that we have. It's amazing, isn't it? Folks, thanksgiving calls upon me to look at all of the things that I possess. And when I do, I will see the bounty of God in my life. I want you to think for just a moment about your home, just your home. We have homes that have roofs that don't leak. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We have homes that are well insulated, don't we? And that insulation helps us to stay warm in the winter and helps us to remain cool in the summer. We have these huge heating and cooling units that are running on the side or the back of our house. And whatever temperature you want it, all you got to do is set the thermostat, don't you? Man, we got indoor plumbing, don't we? We got water heaters. Just turn on the knob, make certain it's hot. Wait a couple of minutes and all of a sudden, all the hot water you need for a shower, to clean your clothes, to wash your dishes. Wow. We have electricity at the flick of a switch. My mother told me about their house before they got electricity. They had kerosene lamps that lit the rooms. And some of you in here may remember those days. And they finally came in with electricity, and guess what they had? One naked bulb in every room. Wow, but electricity. We got all kinds of lights in our house now, don't we? Floor coverings. Some individuals love carpet. Some individuals love tile. Some individuals love wood. Just whatever you want for your house, you can have, can't you? We have window dressings. Some love their curtains steel. Some have shades. We have all kinds of appliances, don't we? Stoves, refrigerators, microwave, I heard that one. Washers, dryers, air fryers. Didn't know you could even fry air. Air fryer. We got all kinds of stuff, don't we? Furniture. Every room that you go in, you got tons of furniture. Sometimes we will say, I just got too much furniture. Well, why did you buy it? Pictures. Almost pictures on every wall. Decorations. All those little whatnots all over the place that collect dust. Go into your closet and you got plenty of clothes, don't you? Open up your cupboard, you got plenty of food in there. We have cleaning supplies. We have repair kits. We have all of our medications. We have technology, don't we? Phones, iPads, desktops. Now our televisions are streaming devices, aren't they? They even have televisions now that are touch screen. I don't know why anybody wants to get that close. We have all of our valuables, our jewelry. We have our holiday decorations. I put that one on there because Kathleen's got me decorating. Folks, that's just what? That's just our house, is it not? We're not even talking about all the junk in the garage. Drive around my neighborhood and just look at some of the garages. They need yard sales badly. They can't even park their cars in their garage. And then we got another storage unit out back. And some people have to rent another storage facility for all their stuff. Unbelievable. Our vehicles, our play toys, right? Our collections, everybody's got a little collection of something. We have our jobs, we have our medical benefits, we have our bank accounts, we have our investments. We have our health to enjoy, we have our family, we have our friends. We live in the greatest country in the world, folks, the United States of America. It's not perfect, never was, never will be, but it's the greatest. We've got our church family, and we've got our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, don't we? And guess what? We haven't even begun to talk about our blessings. Count your many blessings, do what? Name them one by one. Your computer would just about run out of space. And we look around and we think, my, my, I sure don't have very much. No, we need to give thanks for what we have, don't we? And folks, when we do, we'll begin to learn the truth of several Bible passages. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A good translation of that is this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. And there is very little that any of us in this audience truly want for. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 23, 1 and 2. I have been young and now am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's true, isn't it? He is what? Ever merciful. And he lendeth, and his seed is blessed, David says. In Psalm 37, 25, and 26, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. Folks, when you and I are truly people of thanksgiving, we start looking around at all we have to be thankful for, and our eyes are opened to the bounty of the Almighty God. How about this second point? It's closely tied to the other. When you and I become people of thanksgiving, we see that we are truly blessed, aren't we? We look around at all of the stuff that we have, all the things that we've bought, all the things that we've accumulated, all the gifts that are ours to enjoy, and I start thinking, wow, I'm really a blessed person. I'm not a pauper. I'm not a victim. I'm not a prisoner. I'm not afflicted. I'm not one of the underprivileged of our nation. I am blessed beyond measure. Again, we learn some passages from Scripture. Psalm 115, 15. Notice what he says. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Folks, how in the world can we walk out to our cars? How can we look at the clothes that we have on today? How can we open our cupboards? How can we enter into our homes and not say that we are blessed beyond measure? And we ought to bow our heads in thanksgiving to the Almighty God. Point number three. When I become a person of thanksgiving, it helps me to see the less fortunate. One of the best things that parents can do is take their children on a mission trip to a foreign country. Did you know that? And you go into some of those third world countries and you see what they don't have. They don't have wing-back chairs. They have buckets that they sit on. They don't have sleep number beds. They have hammocks. They don't have central heat and air. They have door openings and windows with no doors or windows. They don't have floor coverings except dirt. They don't have water heaters. They have large bins on top of their houses that are black that gather water and allow the sun to heat the water when the sun's out. They don't have showers and bathtubs. They go down to the river or down to the ditch and take baths. The reason your children need to go is when they come back and they walk into what they have, they say, wow, I'm a blessed person. And the people that I just saw are much less fortunate than I am. Folks, there are literally millions upon millions upon millions of people who have less than we do, don't they? I just got to thinking, what is the average yearly income of individuals in the United States versus the yearly average income of other nations? And when you hear this figure, you're probably going to say, well, I don't make that. We're talking about averages, right? United States of America, the average worker makes $80,300. I realize there's some millionaires who skew that a little bit. But it's still a big salary, isn't it? Afghanistan. Average workers makes $360 a year. A year. Haiti, $1,740 a year. The Philippines, $4,230 a year. You'd think the UK would be pretty close to us, wouldn't you? $47,800 a year, almost half of what we make. But I'm just a pauper. I can just barely get by. Can't hardly pay my bills. I just live from paycheck to paycheck. Folks, our income is seventh of all the world incomes. There's only six countries ahead of us as far as average income per person. We're rich. And when I understand how much I do have and what I do possess, my eyes ought to be drawn to who? Those who are less fortunate. Paul made his second trip to Jerusalem. When he was there, he had to be accepted as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and was. His mission was to the Gentiles. The apostles sent him out and they gave him one command and one command only, and it's this: only they would that we should remember who? Remember the poor. Galatians 2 verse 10. Can you imagine that? Hey, Paul, when you go out preaching the gospel, we want you to remember one group of people. Remember the poor. I want to talk about just for a moment a example of what we refer to as the rich man and Lazarus. Our attention is drawn to that particular text oftentimes because we want to know what's going to happen to us after death, isn't it? That's why we want to go there. You die and you either go to the place of comfort, Abraham's bosom in the Hadean realm, or you die and you go to torments in the Hadean realm. You see, Lazarus died, didn't he? The Bible says that when the rich man saw him, he was in comfort in Abraham's bosom. But not that old rich man. He was in torments. I want us to stop and I want to ask ourselves the question. Why were these two men where they were? Or maybe we should ask this question: why was the rich man where he was? You see, Jesus says there was a certain rich man which fared sumptuously, which was clothed in what? Purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, the Bible says, named Lazarus, which laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Question: was the rich man blind? Not physically. He wasn't blind. Can you imagine that? He could open up his window, step out on his doorstep, look down at his gate, and guess who he saw? He could see Lazarus, couldn't he? Every day. And all he wanted was what? All I want are the crumbs that fall from your table. Can you imagine looking at a man and seeing dogs run up, licking his wounds? The rich man was blind. Apparently he was blind to his own blessings. And he was definitely so blind that he would not allow himself to take part of his riches and help this man who was hurting. He was blind. That rich man needed the gift of what? Thanksgiving, didn't he? He needed that ointment placed upon his eyes. Look at all that I have. Look at all that I possess. Look at all that is mine. And all this man wants is what? A few crumbs. And I can't give it to him. I know in our society we develop a pretty negative attitude, don't we? Toward homeless people, toward beggars. Folks, we're rich. What's a dollar or two? What's 50 cents? What's $5? You see, that leads to point number four. I see the bounty of God, don't I? I understand that I am blessed beyond measure. I look around me and I see other individuals who are less fortunate, who do not have what I have, and that leads to the grace of giving. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you work? For a lot of you, I need to ask it this way. Why did you work? Because that's what I don't work anymore. But why did you work? And the answers are numerous, are they not? I work in order to provide for my family. I work so that I can save a little bit of money for a rainy day. I work so I can enjoy the fine things of life and the fun things of life. Trips, restaurants. We do that, don't we? Folks, that's estry. That's what my grandma used to say. Estry. But we work to go provide that for our lives, don't we? We work to accumulate enough money so one day I finally can retire. There's a passage, it's found in Ephesians 4, verse 28, that has always amazed me when I read it. Paul's writing and he says this, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth." Wow. Isn't that something? He didn't say that you may have to feed your family. He didn't say that you may have to accumulate a little savings. He didn't say that you may have so you can go to Chili's when you get out of here today. He didn't say so that you can accumulate enough money to retire. Labor, work with your hands so you can give to those who need it. Well, that's a different perspective, isn't it? Thanksgiving opens up our minds on how much we have and how little others possess. Folks, listen to me. If we are a compassionate people, what we have can be given to those who need. If we're a caring people, what we have can be given to those in need. If we're a loving people, what we have can be given to those in need. If we are a people who is striving to the utmost of our ability to have the heart of Christ, what we have can be given to those in need. two verses. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Psalm 41:1. How about this one? Talking to the who? To the rich folk. Oh, I realize we think that's not us, but it is. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, their trust in uncertain riches, but rather in what? In the living God. He then gives them four commandments, doesn't he? Notice what he says. That they do good. That's the first thing. Do good. Second thing. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Go study those four commands. You want to what every one of them says? You take your wealth and you take your riches and don't you hesitate to use it and give it to others. That's what he says. When I understand how much I've been blessed, folks, it's easy to develop within my life the grace of giving. And that leads to this. When I really understand thanksgiving and what I have, I learn contentment in my life. One man said this, thanksgiving allows me to see that what I have is enough. It's enough. Question. I didn't put it in question form, but I'm going to put it in question form now. Do you have things that you possess that you never use? Nah, none of us have any of that in our house. You got clothes in your house you never wear? I'm not going to ask why, but we all do, don't we? You have toys in your house that are never used? Now, both adults and children have toys. You know that? Never used. Got furniture in your home that's never sat in? Used to have dens and living rooms, didn't we? Some places still do. You sit in a den, you don't dare touch the living room. You used to have plastic put on all of it, didn't you? Oh, now, what's that all about? You got dishes in your house that you've never used? They're in a cabinet somewhere. Hadn't touched them in years. Got them out one time for Christmas back in 1938. Do you have things in your closet that you forgot are there? I don't know. Go check your closet. Sometimes I ask Kathleen, I say, is that new? Oh no, it's been in my closet for months. Well, I haven't ever seen it. First time I've worn it. There was a little reel on not long ago. This lady had left the house and her husband thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to count her shoes. He pulled them all out of the closet. He lined the upstairs. He went downstairs. He lined the den, all the way around the den, back up the stairs and down the hallway. 220-something pairs of shoes. And he laughed and he says, some of them don't even have matches. But she still had them. Folks, we got stuff that we don't use, that we don't need, that we've totally, completely forgotten about. And yet, we're still what? We still think I need, don't we? If I have more than I can use, why do I need more? Contentment says, I have enough. Contentment says, what I have right now, that's sufficient. Contentment says, I do not need one thing, not one thing. Hebrews 13:15. I understand the last part of the verse, but the first part connected to it seems a little weird. But now I understand it better. Listen to what he says. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Folks, let it be without that deep desire and longing for stuff and things. Once I get rid of that particular notion and those desires, then I can do what he tells me in the second half of the verse and be content with such things as ye have. Folks, Thanksgiving is more than a day of celebration. Thanksgiving is more than a command to be obeyed. Thanksgiving is more than just a nice gesture toward others for things we have received. Thanksgiving is a medication. It is a spiritual eye ointment that when it is placed upon our eyes, it opens those eyes to things we might not see otherwise. We can now see the bounty of God. We now can see that I am a blessed individual. I now can see the plight of the less fortunate. I can see the grace of giving away the things that I have. And I can see that what I really need to develop in my life is the quality of contentment. We're about to enter into the week of Thanksgiving, aren't we? Folks, as you go through this week, keep this passage in mind. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Little children, when they pray at a meal, might pray something like this: God is great, God is good, and He is, isn't He? He's so good to us. When I think about all the lost that are in the world, and then I sit back and I think, you know, I know the truth of the gospel. What a blessing, isn't it? Folks, what a blessing it is to come in contact with someone who knows the truth of the gospel and who's willing to share that with you. It may only happen one time in your life, and that's a blessing, isn't it? To know now exactly what I need to do to be right with God. And the steps are simple. They're the same as they were 2,000 years ago. Those Jews on the day of Pentecost cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We're lost." They'd heard the gospel, hadn't they? Now they've been convicted that they had killed the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That belief wasn't enough. The Bible says, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2, verse 38. Folks, those are not the words of Victor Eskew. Those are the words of an inspired apostle by the name of Peter, who said them to a group of lost people 2,000 years ago. If we do what they did, we'll have the same results, will we not? They that gladly received His word were baptized, Acts 2:41. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were saved, Acts 2, verse 47. Do you need to do that this morning? Dear Christian, I want you to think about it. We've had the privilege of being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Don't you think we should live like it? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Can you honestly say, I am faithful to my God? Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?